Did you feel it when you walked in the door this morning, when you saw the people that you've missed? Did you feel that feeling of love that we get to feel when we see each other? It might be one time a week, but it's wonderful. You have friends that show up to spend time with us, praising the one true God, and it's just wonderful. So right now, let's start off with, look around you, greet the person around you, and let them know how much they're loved. So just look around, shake somebody's hand, do whatever it is you want to do. Give them a big wave. Our God is such a great, wonderful God. For those of you that may not have been here before, there is coffee in the back. Please feel free to get up and get some. Bring it back in. Be comfortable, feel loved, and enjoy the service this morning with us. The other kind of love I want to tell you about is when you see people that have been gone, your heart jumps when they show back up and they're safe. It was wonderful to see Bill and Chris walk in this morning and Brittany, because you're always worried when they go on a long trip. And when we don't do the blessing of the vehicles, we're kind of scared because we need that blessing on our vehicles because some of us don't have those new vehicles. But praise God, the vehicles made it. Everybody made it back safe. We prayed for the young boys playing baseball last week. I pray that no boys got sick from the heat. So praise God. That's all the love that we get to show. And we get to show love in prayer. As you can tell today, this morning, and I always want to say this, God is just unbelievable. So Dan had no idea that I was preaching on love today.
God does it so many times.
It's amazing. It's just amazing how that happens. And it's just, you just have to know it's going to happen because it is. Because the Holy Spirit is one with God, and he's saying to us, here's what's going to happen. Follow what I'm trying to tell you here, and let's go with that. The verse that I'm going to use today is 1 Corinthians 16:14. And if you do look that up in your Bible, it says, do everything in love. This was a plaque that I had that reminds me all the time that when things happen in our lives, and they might not be the most fun things, they might be bad things, or so we feel is bad for us. But we need to do everything in love. Well, so what is love? So I looked up, naturally, I'm kind of like Russ. I look things up I Google things and that. Well, naturally now AI is the thing that they keep coming up if you Google different things. And AI's view of love is a complex emotion that can be described as a deep affection for another person or a strong liking for something. It can also refer to a set of behaviors and emotions that include intimacy, passion, and commitment. Love can involve feelings of care, closeness, protectiveness, attraction, affection, and trust. Webster's tells us that to regard with affection, to like, to delight in, to be in love, to be tenderly attached, warm affection, fond attachment, the passion between the sexes, the object beloved, a word of endearment, Cupid, the god of love, well, we know where that goes, and the score of nothing at tennis. So 15 love, you know, is nothing. So that's what Webster's has to tell us. I also then Google, well, where does love come from? And naturally, I got the human answer, the human perspective. It's love is influenced by hormones, neurotrophins, phenomones, and how people think and behave in love is influenced by their conceptions. Whereas the view, biological view, which is conventional, has two major drives, sexual attraction and attachment. Where does love originate? And it says different cultures, and they're basically all sexual in all the cultures. So we're going to get into what God says love is. So with that, pray with me if you would. Father, we just come to you today, Lord. We pray that the words that come out of my mouth are pleasing to you, Lord, and that's what you would have me say in this day and this time. Father, thank you for all the people that are in this church. Thank you for the safe passage. Thank you for the safe passage of going home. And Lord, let our love continue to shine forth through you and in you, Father, because these are all the things that you have commanded us to be so. Father, we just love you. We give you all power and glory. In your name, amen. If there are any babies in the crowd, I do see that Kathy's back there for nursery. If not, that's fine. For the other younger adults, they do have the bags, so please feel free to grab a bag that has different things for you to do that will keep you busy and keep you happy, even listening secondhand to the Word of God. So we've talked about what the world says. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to look at that chapter. And if you open your Bibles in that, and if you have captions in your Bible, mine starts out with this chapter and says, love is indispensable. Indispensable means absolutely necessary, crucial, essential, vital, and required. That's what love is. And we're going to get into what the Word says here today. In this it says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So now we see what God, his definition of love. We may not realize it, but our outward actions, our outward, how we see the world, how we look at the world, affects the world. It affects people around us. It affects people that we know, and it affects people that we don't know as they just see us in this world when they come across us and what does our body language show? So let's look what God says. We're going to go back to 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Now, if you're a parent, you know what patience is. And you've grown to know that that's kind of hard to do once in a while, is to show patience. But again, this is what the Lord commands. Let's remember when Jesus was walking the earth and the children would come up and surround him. And the other apostles thought they're being bothersome to Jesus. But what does Jesus tell them? Let the little ones come to me. To be patient takes tons and tons of love, because you have to be able to express yourself how God would express it. And that's a hard thing to do, because we all know what the world does to us and how it comes at us once in a while. And we don't have that nice feeling. We just don't have it. But we need to search our hearts to be patient with one another, and then to not even possibly say anything, but to just show that person that we still love them, no matter what comes their way. Love is kind. How many of us have to correct ourselves when we say some things that just bounce right off our lips? I'm one that likes to look at the videos on Facebook about the Karens in the world, which are men and women who think that they have all the answers and no one does. Their way is right and only right. And I find myself not so kind once in a while, shaking my head going, what in the world is going on in the world? But to be kind takes a lot. It really does take a lot. So two big things that God starts out with, and he does that for a reason. He lists it for a reason. It does not envy, right? Another thing that we have to be careful of. When we start to want what our neighbor has, or what somebody else in our family has, or what the life we've been handed. I don't know how many of you people thank the Lord every day for the life you've been handed, the blessed things that continue to happen in our lives that are not something that we've developed on our own. It's only through the help of knowing Jesus Christ that we have been able to become who we are in the Lord's name. So, To be envious is not good. It does not boast. So we don't go around telling everybody how great of a Christian we are. I'm a great Christian because I'm friends with so-and-so and nobody likes that guy over there, but I'm friends with him, so I'm pretty good. I'm going to heaven. Well, that's not it either. That's what the Lord says. You can't be boasting about the love that he's given you. It is not proud. Again, being proud comes with the boasting and everything else. We need to remember that we're not going to get to heaven on just what we feel we've done good enough. We have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on the cross for us in order to get ourselves on the right road, on the right path to get to heaven. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. So he goes from one side to the other. We're not to dishonor other people to make ourselves look good. That's what those verses. It does not dishonor others. And the flip side is, it is not self-seeking. So don't badmouth someone else to make yourself look better. The world seems to get better and better at that. Praise God, we all know how politics goes. And we see what it's basically come down to is, I'm going to make as much fun of this guy as I can to make myself look better. And anybody with any common sense and any love in their heart knows it doesn't make either one of them look any good. So again, these are the words that God has given us, not what the world's given us. You know, they give us definitions, but their love is basically a love that is between humans. It's not encompassing everything else. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Well, I know growing up, we like to pay each other back tit for tat. But again, if we're truly rooted in the love of God, we won't have that. We won't. I mean, I went through a time where I was easily angered at work and I would fly off the handle in a heartbeat. And it took me many years. Not that I wouldn't become angered, but that I could turn around in 5 minutes and go apologize to that person and let them know that I was sorry, that I put no thought into what I was saying. I was right, they were wrong, I was going to make sure they knew they were wrong, and that it did nothing for anybody, did not help anybody in those situations. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Again, what is the truth? The truth isn't just what comes to our minds, what we feel is right and what is wrong. The truth in what God's word tells us, how things should be treated, how we should treat others, how we should love the Lord our God. These are the things that are important to God that he's laying down for us. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. How does love protect us? We have to know that physically and even mentally, if someone is really, really down on us, really totally against us, really wanting to make us look like we don't belong, like we don't deserve to be in this world, it's tough. It's tough. It's very tough to deal with, and you have to really just turn everything back to God and how His love helps. It always trusts. Where's that trust come from? Our trust in the Lord. The things that He knows that we can rely on. Who's the one person in our lives that will never, ever leave us nor forsake us? And that is our Father God, our Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. We fail, we sin, we fail. We go back to God and ask His forgiveness, and He is there. That doesn't always happen in this life with our friends. There might be a word said that we think is said in love and not taken in that fashion. Those are the times that we need to be able to step forth and explain and let them know that the things we do and the things we say are only going to be in love. I heard a guy the other day online that said that he's got people that try to goad him into politics and the answers, and it's because they're looking for a fight. And he found himself, the only way that he could combat that was to say, first of all, let me tell you that I will only answer if you know that I'm answering in love, it's my opinion, but that I love you no matter what is said, and that I will not argue with you, but if you want my opinion, I will let you know that. But I am only doing that if you tell me that you understand that I'm doing this out of love. And he found out that calmed a lot of people that were looking for that fight. Because he started out saying love comes first, what our opinions are comes second, and that no matter what, we can disagree, but we can agree to disagree in the name of love. So we do these things, try to do everything again that you do be done in love. We find it hard at times to help. Let's put it that way. We find it hard at times to help because the world's got us so busy to begin with that when we get a call from a friend that needs help, or maybe not even a friend, maybe it's somebody that's just seen us and said, hey, I could really use a hand doing this right now, our first response is pretty much to say, sorry, don't have any time. Our time is God's time. The time we have is given to us by God. I've been in places where I thought I had no time for anything. This was before I actually came back to the church. I had actually been soured so bad that I had quit going to church, and I knew better. I still prayed, I still read the Bible, but I just felt like it wasn't for me. And it took a while, but God finally made me realize that I needed that love recharge. Our guys in the back recharge batteries every week for what goes on here. Coming to this place to hear the Word of God, to be with people that I love, recharges me every week to where by the following Sunday, I need that recharge again. I need to feel that love from everybody because you're battling what the world's throwing at us. We're battling things each and every day. And it's hard. It's hard to hear all the negativity and not just voice your opinion right off the bat. But if we do it in love and let the other person know we're doing it in love, it makes a huge difference as to how they turn around and look at life as well. Everybody's looking for a fight. You can find a fight anywhere you want to go because all you have to do is complain about one thing and there's going to be somebody that wants to argue with you about it. So how do we handle that in our lives? Right there, and then we end with love never fails. Love never fails. It is always there, always a phone call away, always a friendship away, always a new friendship away. All we have to do is keep our eyes and our ears open, and we'll find out what that love means. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only, one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God, agape love, right? Willing to lay down your life. Does that mean that we have to die for someone in order to show them agape love? No. What does the Bible tell us? Look what Ruth did for Sarah. She gave up her life to help take care of Sarah. And Naomi. And those are the things that happen today. If we often, and again, how do we look at people's lives? People that have special needs children, they have to give their life up for the rest of their lives. They don't get to have that child grow up and leave the family. That child is with them for the rest of their lives. And we should so get to know them and so want to help them, just like we would with anyone that would have a child that has any type of issues, anger issues, control issues. Bill often says, there's nothing better than to hear babies crying and the kids getting loud in the other room. And I totally agree. There's nothing better than that. If we would not have kids in this life to show us what real love is, we would not probably know what real love is. But we do, because of what God continues to do with our lives, our children, their children, and their children's after that, and how we get to grow old and become grandparents. And we don't even have to use that much patience anymore, because now we get to love and give back. So it's a wonderful thing to know that God sent his only Son to die, again, that we would have a chance. That's how much he's loved us. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Loving God is our primary purpose. If we continue to love God, that drives everything in our soul, in our hearts, in our bodies, to in turn reflect that love to this world. That is our purpose from God. It's in Romans. You can read it, 8:28. These are the things that we as God's children need to remember. And again, if you ever have any doubts, just write 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 down and review it, because that's what love is all about. This is coming straight from the Lord, and we know that what the Lord is giving us is good for us. It is what he has us do in our lives. And just to let us know that we matter. We matter. It's easy for me to preach on love, because that's all I feel. I have a hard time preaching on fearing God. That's a tough subject, but it needs to be taught. It's in the book. God doesn't want us celebrating any other God, right? So, Cupid, you can be something the world throws at us, but that's not our God of love. Our God of love is our Father God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Those are the things that we need to remember. We have to fear God God wants our love. He wants our praise. He wants our honor. I had first started out today, I was going to preach on the glory of God. And after about 4 days and 10 sheets of notes, I said, there ain't no way, no way could I even come close to encompass what the glory of God is all about. Because I would probably just not stop with showing you trees and buildings and everything that God has given knowledge to somebody in order to give him glory. The sunsets we've been having, the things of this world, just to give him glory for the things that are going on. It was just insurmountable for me to put that all together in my mind and to get that separated out. I'm going to stop there and have the band come back up to play some more music.